but Deadly.
Where the beauty of makeup
leads a horror up to your crime. Chuck?
Endless. Okay, so this week we're doing something just a little lighter. Because your girl is a mess and I ain't doing any research. So Chuck came across a video and it's about like childhood trauma, but like it's not that deep. It's more like you said, like media, right?
Yeah.
Like media and like that kind of stuff that like isn't necessarily scary or rational per se, but that like kind of messed you up as a kid.
Yeah, that you still think about years later and you're like, ugh.
Ooh, yeah.
And as we get through some examples, I think you'll understand a bit more, especially if you're like our age and like you saw what we did. The horrors we went through.
Oh my god. So dramatic. The horrors we went through.
Some of this shit, going back, I was like, how did this air for children? Because all of this is kids' media. All of the things on my list is like for kids. Really? All mine is kids' stuff.
Oh, must be nice.
Okay. So you said you were going to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. Okay, so the descriptions, like any descriptions that I like say throughout my pieces are either from Wikipedia or IMDb. Thank you, good night.
Besides our opinions.
Yes, my opinions are my own.
All right. I wonder if we have any overlap. We haven't told each other what we have.
No, so I'm sure there'll be a little bit, but one of them, I bet you can guess what my first one is, but...
Go for it.
Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah!
Yes. So, Silent Hill is a 2006 psychological horror film that was an adaptation of a 90s video game. The film follows Rose, who takes her adopted daughter, Sharon, to the town of Silent Hill, for which Sharon cries while sleepwalking. Arriving in Silent Hill, Rose is involved in a car accident and awakens to find Sharon missing. While searching for her daughter, she fights a local cult and begins to uncover Sharon's connection to the town's dark past. So there are parts of this movie that I remember from when I originally watched it, because I absolutely refused to rewatch it, although it probably wouldn't scare me now, but like, just thinking about it, well, maybe, but thinking about it, I'm like, ugh, no thanks.
How old are you when it came out?
It came out in 2006, so I would have been 11, but I think I watched it when I was, like, 13.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm now a horror fan, and, like, I didn't know Silent Hill when I was a kid. I only discovered it as, like, being older, and I think, like, half of it is basically a Hallmark movie, so, like, it would be scary for you. But then there, the, like, creatures, they're a little, like, ooh, spooky. Yes. Ooky.
We will talk about that. Okay.
And someone gets skinned alive.
So one of our cousins who was a little older was really into horror movies, and I would always watch them with him. That's how I saw this film. One of the scenes that really fucked me up was the one where there's, like, little, like, fucked up baby fetus things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I think about them, like, kill me. And then the other thing that really fucked me up was the scene with Pyramid Head where he rips off the lady's skin. Yeah, that was...
Pyramid Head is easily, like, the scariest part of Silent Hill.
Like, I had nightmares for a while.
I have fun facts, though.
Okay, go for it.
First fun fact is that, essentially, like, in the video games, the dad is the main character, not the mom. But there is a dad in the movie. And, essentially, the studios were like, listen, there's not enough scenes with the dad. So they just put in this random scene of the dad talking to a cop. Being like, moo. And then the second
amazing.
One has... Guess who? Kit Harington.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay. Starting off strong, SpongeBob.
Oh my god. What episode?
Oh, bitch, you'll agree.
Okay.
Rock Bottom. In this episode, SpongeBob gets stuck in an abyss-like city called Rock Bottom. And it aired in 2000. Okay. So I was negative 2 years old. It's the one where he, like, goes to Gloveland, okay, but he gets stuck, and he's in that line. And
there's a person I remember that one. But that one didn't, like, scare me or mess me up.
Well, here's why it scared me. It triggered my anxiety.
Okay, fair.
Because this, like, main storyline of this episode is that he can't catch the bus. Like, it's right there before he can't. Like, there's this one scene... He's at the vending machine and he like puts in the dollar and it like comes right up. He's like,
nope.
So he takes the dollar out and it is gone.
Yeah.
And that just keeps going on and on.
And that's on anxiety.
And, like, the creatures, I won't say scary, but I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah, they're a little
I don't
weird.
Like this.
Oh, my God.
And then I have another SpongeBob, but, oh, wait, no, I don't. Actually, I do. Okay, this is more of an honorable mention. Do you remember that, like, hash slinging slasher episode?
The hash slinging slasher. Yeah.
Like, most of it isn't really scary. The official title of the episode is The Night Shift, except the very end, where they're like, who was flickering the lights? And hands over, and it's Nosferatu.
Nosferatu. I love that.
That scared the shit out of me. Nosferatu? I was a baby.
Oh my God. That's pretty funny, I'm not gonna lie. Oh, Nosferatu.
And it's so out of nowhere, too.
It's pretty funny.
All right, what's your next one?
Okay, so my next one's another scary movie that I saw when I was a kid. I was probably under 10 years old. It is a Disney movie, but it's Don't Look Under the Bed.
Yes! That's a DCOM.
Which is a spooky tale about a no-nonsense teenager who refuses to believe in the supernatural until she is confronted with the boogeyman under her bed. When somebody starts to play destructive pranks in her neighborhood, the girl is framed as the culprit. But when she realizes that the root of her problem is the real boogeyman, she is forced to change her mind about the paranormal.
So funny you bring this movie up, because I got to build on that shit.
You got what?
I can build on that shit.
Okay, blessed. Okay, so one of the things, this is so stupid, that fucking scared me as the kid, was the dogs on the roof. Do you remember that?
No.
Somebody was putting, like, yeah, they were putting, like, all of the dogs would just, like, all of a sudden the next morning appear on the roof, like, yeah. I have no idea why that freaked me out so much, but I did not like that. And then there's, like, another vague scene that I can, like, kind of picture in my mind, but I couldn't explain it.
All right,
it's like the
you.
Boogeyman being under the bed. You're welcome.
Thanks. Who ate my toe? Do you remember that? From that Scary Stories movie, that's the very new movie.
Yes.
Who ate my toe? Or was it Who Took My Toe? Who took my toe? But it's funny you say that, and how, like, one of the main plots is that no one believes this girl when all this, like, misdoing is happening.
Okay.
Goosebumps.
Oh!
First of all, the main intro to this day scares the shit out of me. The voice.
Oh my God. Nope. Jesus.
Beware, you're in for a scare. Okay. So there is this character, it's an overarching character. It wasn't a movie and in books, named Slappy the Puppet. I first saw him during the Goosebumps episode, Night of the Living Dummy, which aired originally in 1996, but I was not alive then. So I believe I got the movie from the library.
Yes.
And watched it on a VHS.
Yes, we used to get movies from the library when we were kids.
But essentially what happens is that there's this girl who, she's not like, she feels like an outsider in her family, you know? But she ends up getting this puppet. And, like, she's like, this is my thing, but the puppet's evil, and starts doing bad shit around the house. And, of course, she gets blamed, because how are you going to blame the puppet? Not only did the puppet scare me, but also the thought of, I was a goody-two-shoes as a kid, Liz, you remember.
Oh, I remember.
The thought of someone doing something and me getting blamed for it, terrifying. And just the thought of no one believing you.
And that's on real childhood trauma.
And then the other part was that they would try to get rid of this doll and it would keep coming back, and that terrified me too. Now you just kind of, like, chop off the arms and the legs, it's a nugget. Okay, what's it gonna do, roll menacingly at you, you know?
I mean, maybe
it's gonna but still, ventriloquist dummies, I'd put them all on a fire. Thank you.
I'm still scared to this day.
I wouldn't say scary.
Did you see the Twilight Zone episode with the ventriloquist dummy?
Yes, that's a scarier version,
okay.
I would say. And then if you want a gaff, there's a movie called Dead Silence, I think. It has, like, Mark Wahlberg in it. It's from James Wan.
God.
Like, so stupid. It's, like, it's a great kind of stupid.
Okay.
I have another Goosebumps one.
Okay, go for it.
You'll remember this one, okay? Because we watched it together as we were older. Because I, like, told you about it, and I was like, you gotta see it.
I think I know which one, but go for it.
This was another, you know, doll occurrence.
I knew it, okay.
When I was, like, 8. There was a reboot of Goosebumps called R.L. Stine's The Haunting Hour. And there's this 2-part episode that similarly scared the absolute shit out of me. The episodes were called Really You Part 1 and Part 2. And they're about this young girl who gets a doll that looks just like her. It's basically like a custom-made, life-size, like, American Girl doll.
Yes. And the slowly... actress, do you say who it is or no?
No. Because I forgot her name.
Okay, I don't remember her actual name, but you'll know her as the one who looks like, oh no, I forgot her name, from the Fosters.
Maya?
Maya, yeah. The little Maya. I, you know what, I shouldn't have missed anything.
She was also in the Drake and Josh Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And the second Strangers movie, The Strangers Come at Midnight.
I will never see that, probably, thank you.
Why? It's not scary.
What's the one I'm thinking of then? Isn't The Strangers the one you said would fuck me up?
The first one, yes. The second one is stupid.
Okay.
But there's this one really good scene. Oof. If you know, you know. It's the one in the pool, but thank you. Anyways. But slowly over time, this doll starts blaming incidents. Well, the doll doesn't say anything. Incidents start happening. And so they, you know, understandably start blaming the daughter for these incidents. And she's like, no. But they make it to the point where, like, the mother has so much disdain for her daughter. It's like she dislikes her personally. And the doll starts becoming more like the girl. And the girl starts becoming more like the doll, as in, like, fake. And eventually they completely switch. Where the real girl is now a doll and the doll is a real girl.
Yep.
Terrifying. But there was one point. Okay, yet again, on childhood trauma. Where the mom took away the doll, but instead of just taking away the doll, she put it in her bed with her. Like, it was her doll.
Yes! So
like, she genuinely liked the doll more.
Yep. Ooh.
And the doll is creepy as shit. Like, it doesn't even just look like a regular doll. It looks like a wax doll or some shit. But you remember watching that with me, right?
Yes, I do. Yep.
And what's so funny is that around that same time, I got a life-size Barbie doll from BJ's.
Yep.
So I was like,
you got it from BJ's? I don't remember that part. I just remember you having it.
Yeah, that's why we got it, because it's cheap. You can buy something like that normally.
Me!
Alright, let me get a sip of coffee and that's you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So my last scary movie is one that I hadn't even seen. So buckle up for that one. So, my cousin, the one who likes scary movies, was allowed to watch scary movies from a very young age, and then he would tell the rest of us cousins about it.
And that's like, it was a scary story,
and scared the shit out of us. Specifically me, because I was a little bitch.
You were just soft. So this, okay.
Yes. Is The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh, shit. People still say that's one of the scariest movies, like, ever.
And I will not watch it. He told me about, like, the whole movie, and the movie is, like, about a young girl who's possessed, and it had, like, the whole waking up at 3 a.m. every morning, you know? I think that's, like, the devil's hour or some shit. And she would count up to 6, like, over and over again really fast. No, thank you. And, like, that just stuck with me for a while. I think I was, like, under 10 when he told me about that.
Holy shit.
So,
yet again, kind of a similar story, but not really. So we were at our aunt's house, and her son was watching a movie on the TV, which I now know was one of the scary movies, so it was like a joke.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a shower scene where it had the little boy from, it called? The Grudge in it. And just, like, the sight of, like, the little boy, even though it was, like, a comedic scene, whatever, it scared me. It's
scary.
But what was the best part is that I wasn't watching it. He didn't tell me about it. I was walking from one room past the TV, looked behind the couch at it, and was like, fuck that, and then just kept going.
Yay! You were like, too scary for me. I'm out.
All right. My next one, not going to be a shock to you, Courage the Cowardly Dog. Specifically, one episode stuck with me.
I have some, too.
I wonder if we have the same episode. I don't know if we will. Okay. So the episode is titled The Mask and it originally aired October 18th, 2002. Do we have the same one?
No, I have a different one, but I do mention that one because I watch Mojo Top 10 Scariest Courage Cowardly Dog, whatever.
Okay, so strap in. By the way, this is my explanation of the episode. This isn't from
Wiki. Gonna say, this is my personal hell.
This is my personal hell. Thank you. Basically, in this episode, this woman in an anime mask, a scary-ass anime mask, shows up. Yep. To Courage's house, and she hates him. She hates dogs, and is just, like, constantly kicking the shit out of him, because he's a dog. But she ends up staying the night because she needs help, because she's looking for her best friend. And so Muriel's like, okay. So she's staying at the house, and Courage, for whatever reason, hates her. Probably because she's kicking the shit out of him. But he thinks that she is going to eat Muriel and Eustace, his owners. So to essentially get rid of her, he tries to find her best friend. So, basically, her best friend is in an abusive relationship with a dog. Yeah. And his dog is a gangster. Deadass, they say in the show, he's a gangster. And his name is Mad Dog. And that's why both her and her best friend hate dogs.
I love it. Mad Dog.
But the whole thing about, like, the scenes with Mad Dog and the friend are so accurate to an abusive relationship.
Yep.
And seeing them get reunited. It's a happy ending at the end, but
yes.
It was very dark for kids. Courage the Cowardly Dog is one of those shows where I'm like, how did that air? For children. Yeah,
exactly. Like, that'll mess you up.
And then there are a few other episodes I remember. They weren't particularly scary. Like, there was one where Muriel was a little kid.
Yeah, I remember that one too.
And he was taking care of her. And at one point, he made her mac and cheese, and she was mac like, and cheese. Mac, not enough cheese. Which is making dinner for dad to yes. a tea. All right. Your turn.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, my other movies mess me up emotionally, or, like, they're a little creepy, but they're not scary.
Okay.
So, the creepy one that I'm talking about is Coraline.
She's on my list. Oh!
I was a little older for this, but I hate the button eyes. Like, the other mother, I don't remember, is that what she's called? Something like that.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. I hated it. Like, I just don't even have the words. I just hated that movie.
See, now that I'm an adult, I love that movie. Like, I've rewatched it a couple times. I love that movie.
I'm good on that, thanks.
I guess I'll talk about my experience with Coraline.
Yeah, go for it.
Coraline. Okay. It came out in 2009, so I was 7, huh?
Did you know that Sweet Caroline is about a young girl?
No, I didn't. Not surprised, because it's an older song. And by older, like, I mean more than 90s.
It's about, like, Carolyn Kennedy? Like, when she was a little girl, like, 9? Like, I don't know if you remember the words of Sweet Caroline besides that part.
No.
Touching me, touching you. That's part of it. Yeah, and then you tried to go back and be like, no, no. I didn't do that. Fuck you, Neil Diamond.
That's the official stance of this podcast.
These opinions are our own.
So, when the movie came out, I was 7.
Just moving swiftly on.
And I remember getting it from Redbox. Throw bags.
My God.
And I watched it alone. I was in Mom and Dad's room. And I think you were
alone?
Yep. I think you were in the bonus room watching something else. I watched it alone.
That's about right. Fuck me up.
Essentially, this is the plot summary. While exploring her new home, a girl named Coraline discovers a secret door behind which lies an alternate world that closely mirrors her own, but in many ways is better. She rejoices in her discovery until other mother and the rest of her parallel family try to keep her there forever. Coraline must use all of her resources and bravery to make it back to her own family and life. Okay. From the beginning, it, like, traps you in, and it got me specifically because I felt so much like Coraline. Like, her parents are kind of apathetic. She's in, like, a new place. She doesn't really have any friends in this new big house all by herself. And she finds this door, and goes to another world that it really is just like her home, except her parents care about her. She has all the food she could ever want, anything she could ever want, just, like, constantly loved. But it takes a turn when the other mother wants her to give up her eyes for button eyes and stay there forever. And it turns out the other mother is evil, has killed other kids before, and is planning on killing Coraline.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which emotionally fucked me up. But the scene that was scary to me was that, like, at the end, the other mother transforms into, like, her actual form of, like, a spider person.
That's right.
And the floor drops out from under Coraline, and it's a gigantic web. Mm-mm. And then the worst part for me is two things. One, she has this friend, Whitey, in the real world. And she always, like, says, like, oh, he talks too much. So in the other world, his mouth is sewn shut. And she's like, this is fine. I'm like, awesome. I love this Whitey.
Are you triggered?
Yes! Fucked up! Justice for Whiteborn. Actually, three things.
Whitey. For no reason.
Second thing is that there are these two sisters, us, but they live downstairs, but they have all the same dog, the schnauzer, okay, and they stuff the dogs when they die, and so there's just this wall of the stuffed dogs. Do you remember that?
And I forgot about angel costumes. That. Yep, I forgot about that. That's and so then, messed up.
Right? What the fuck? And then the third thing is that the end of the movie is not happy in any way. Like, you think, oh, she defeated the evil? No. So, at the end of the movie, the other mother had, like, kidnapped her parents. Her parents don't remember any of it, and her parents are still apathetic. Like, they don't give a shit. She still has no friends or anything. Nothing has changed. Oh, and the portal to the other world is still open. Because you can see the cat at the end of the movie going through a portal.
Do you think the other mother can come back. They were thinking of making a second movie?
Mm-mm.
Weird.
From everything I've seen from the filmmakers, it looks like that was just, like, their vision.
Interesting.
Alright, I guess, is it back to you?
Boom, 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 boom! Let's see. Okay, so these are, like, the emotional ones now. So one of the movies is Disney's True Confession. I don't think you ever saw it. I saw it when I lived in the old house.
Oh! So I was under the age of two.
5 or 6. So the movies where Shia LaBeouf plays a mentally impaired teenager, like, I don't know what the, like, right, like, PC term is now. Like, I don't want to be, like, offensive and say mentally impaired if that's not what it is.
Yeah. But in some way, disabled.
Cognitively impaired. Yes, disabled.
And, like, let's be real.
I don't think that's it either. I think it's supposed to be a person with mental... a person with a disability, right?
Actually, most people don't really care, including other disabled people.
I just don't want to offend anyone.
It's okay.
Okay. So there's one scene I remember, like I said, I was 5 or 6, where Shia LaBeouf's character messed something up at dinner. I don't quite remember because I was young. And his dad got, like, mad, and Shia LaBeouf's character started, like, crying and saying, like, I'm sorry, Dad.
Oh, my fucking God. Oh, my fucking God.
And it fucked me up. I was crying. Dad, for the first time in my life ever, had to comfort me.
And then you relived that.
And said that, like, oh, it's okay to cry during sad movies, and that he does too sometimes, which is a fucking lie. So, yes, that messed me up as a child.
On a lighter note, Mr. Meaty.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I am so posting photos of Mr. Meaty, because what is that?
Facts.
It's this whole series I had completely forgot about until a few years ago when just like an image of them popped into my mind and I was like, what is this? Yes. I must find it. One of them looks like Billie Eilish, but that's a separate subject.
Don't do her like that.
Mr. Meaty began airing in 2005 and is about two friends working in a food court. So, they're two puppets. Everyone in the show is a puppet, basically. Mm-hmm. Which makes it so much more terrifying.
You're
just, like,
so fucked up
levels. Looking. Like, I already hated puppets. They're horrendous looking. Yep. Awful. But it gets worse, because there's one episode. Okay, it's called Mooch Master P, Don't Ask. Essentially, one of the friends keeps eating, like, everything. Like, to a compulsive
level. I vaguely remember that.
Well, it turns out he's got a tapeworm. So at the end of this episode, a gigantic, oh, do you remember? A gigantic tapeworm comes out of his mouth. It's also a puppet, by the way.
You just, like, gave me a memory.
Did I unlock a memory for you?
Yeah.
And it's, like, flailing around.
Ugh.
So, yes, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
God.
Never look up that show.
That show is horrendous.
I want them to not look like Billie Eilish, but...
God.
Also, you're going to love my next one. I would like to preface this by saying I was very, very, very young. Elvis.
Oh, that's right! I forgot about that.
I have no explanation of why this happened, but one time when we were on vacation, we went to Vegas, and there was an Elvis impersonator that we were taking pictures with, and I was terrified of him. No problem with actual Elvis, you know, icon, whatever. I was jamming to him as a kid, but this Elvis impersonator scared the shit out of me. No idea why.
That's a lot.
Do you remember that, Clintry? You remember it better than I do.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You did not want to take pictures with him.
It was just this random-ass man dressed up as Elvis living his life.
You were little, but...
But why was I scared of him and not actual Elvis?
I don't know. Like, you knew Elvis was dead?
Did I, though? Because I'm pretty sure I remember finding out Elvis was dead when I was, like, 10.
Oh,
I'd be like, wait, he's dead?
No. I got nothing.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe you know how kids just, like, know something?
Yeah.
More than adults? Maybe I knew something. I don't know.
Was off.
All right.
Okay. So my last movie is My Girl. My Girl is about a young girl on the threshold of her teen years, finds her life turning upside down when she's accompanied by an unlikely friend. So this movie has Macaulay Culkin. That's who her friend is, isn't it?
Okay.
And it's so fucking sad. I highly suggest everyone sees the movie, but spoilers. So... Like, her mom is dead. So it's just her and her dad to begin with. And then her best friend ends up dying too. Macaulay Culkin's character, he's just a little boy. He gets, like, swarmed by bees. And he was allergic to bees. You remember that?
I remember him in a casket covered in bees.
Yes! Yes, that was really fucking sad. The movie also has my girl Jamie Lee Curtis in it, but I don't remember her in it. But yes.
Who was the girl, though? Like, the main character?
I don't know that she still does acting anymore. That's the only thing that I can remember her in. Let me see. Okay.
Talking about...
So her name is Anna Maria Chlumsky.
What a name.
Apparently there was a second My Girl and never saw it.
My Goyles.
I hate you. Okay, some people might know her from Veep. She was in that. She was in... Oh! The Hannibal series. She played Miriam.
I haven't watched that in so long.
But yeah, she was on, like, some shows, but a lot of them she was only in, like, one episode or something.
Well, alright.
So she hasn't done, like, a ton. But yes.
So my next one... This will take some explaining because I'm 99% sure you don't know what this is.
Okay.
So when I was around 10 or 11, I liked to go on Pinterest and Instagram and find scary stuff. But, like, true crime, like, facts and things.
Oh, okay. I was like, what kind of scary stuff are we talking about?
What kind of scary stuff do you think I would find on Pinterest and Instagram?
You never know.
Oh, you know that Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
So this is originally a creepypasta that was posted in 2013, but I had saw it on either Instagram or Pinterest, and it was posted like it was a real thing, like on one of those like true facts accounts.
Great.
And there was even a photo, so like in my head, I was like,
you're
people
like,
can't lie
real.
On the internet. People can't do that. This is real. So to my core, it was real. I shall read the story, but, and I'll link the original. It's short. The original link to the creepypasta in our notes. In June 1972, a woman appeared in Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles, California, in nothing but a white, blood-covered gown. You remember this?
Yes.
Now, this in itself should not be too surprising, as people often have accidents nearby and come to the nearest hospital for medical attention. But there were two things that caused people who saw her to vomit and flee in horror. The first being that she wasn't exactly human. She resembled something close to a mannequin, but had the dexterity and fluidity of a normal human being. Her face was as flawless as a mannequin's, devoid of eyebrows and smeared in makeup. There was a kitten clamped in her jaws, so unnaturally tight that no teeth could be seen. And the blood was still squirting out over her gown and onto the floor. She then pulled it out of her mouth, tossed it aside, and collapsed. From the moment she stepped through the entrance to when she had was taken to a hospital room and cleaned up. From the moment she stepped through the entrance to when she was taken to a hospital room and cleaned up, before being prepped for sedation, she was completely calm, expressionless, and motionless. I suck at reading.
Me?
The doctors thought it best to restrain her until the authorities could arrive, and she did not protest. They were unable to get any kind of response from her, and most staff members felt too uncomfortable to look directly at her for more than a few seconds. But the second the staff tried to sedate her, she fought back with extreme force. Two members of staff tried to hold her down as her body rose up on the bed with the same blank expression. She turned her emotionless eyes towards the male doctor and did something unusual. She smiled. And as she did, the female doctor screamed and let go out of shock. In the woman's mouth were not human teeth, but long, sharp spikes. Too long for her mouth to fully close without causing any damage. The male doctor stared back at her for a moment before asking, "What in the hell are you?" She cracked her neck down to her shoulder to observe him still smiling. There was a long pause. The security had been alerted and could be heard coming down the hallway. As he heard them approach, she darted forward, sinking her teeth into the front of his throat, ripping out his jugular and letting him fall to the floor, gasping for air. "Excuse me, ma'am." He choked on his own blood. She stood up and leaned over him, her face coming dangerously close to his as the light faded from his eyes. She leaned closer and whispered in his ear, "I am God." The doctor's eyes filled with fear as he watched her calmly walk to greet the security men. His last ever sight would be watching her feast on them one by one. The female doctor who survived the incident named her the Expressionless. There was never a sighting of her again. Yep. When I was a kid, whenever I saw something out of the corner of my eye, the reason I closed the shades at night, it was because of her. I kept a nightlight on because of her.
Jesus. You know, I remember someone reading that creepypasta on like a YouTube video.
That takes so many boxes in me of just, like, awful. One, that poor kitten. It wasn't real. But that poor kitten. Two, Uncanny Valley gets to me. Also, whenever people talk about, like, the psychology of Uncanny Valley, it scares the shit out of me, too.
What is
to
that? This day.
It's like when something looks almost human, but it's not. It's not. And it's, like, almost there, but it's not. Gotcha. It's creepy. Because it's, like, an evolutionary thing. Everyone has that and can, like, tell Uncanny Valley. So it's, like, why did we develop that? What was something we saw so much that was almost human but not quite? And why do we fear it? That is terrifying to me. Thank you.
Thank you, and good night.
And I'll post a picture of her. The Expressionless. Do you know the photo I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I wish I've
heard a shortened version of that, but yes. I remember like, I read it
during the day. I remember exactly where I read it, in front of the window, during the day, on our little, God. Like, low seat we have.
Yeah.
It kept me up at night, man. No.
And that's why we should have put parental controls on your, what was it, probably mom's phone.
See, the thing is, they did, but they weren't very good at picking passwords. And I was very perceptive as a kid, so
yeah.
Took that shit off my Kindle.
Didn't help.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so the next thing I'm talking about is Courage the Cowardly Dog. So some of the episodes are obviously pretty creepy. One of the creepiest ones for me was, do you remember the person standing in their yard, like chanting and like swaying back? Yes. I
hate
that one. I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So like I said, I watched a Watch Mojo video too that had like the scariest episodes, and it triggered me. Like I remember, like as soon as I saw them, I was like, I remember that.
It's like the smell of crayons that immediately brings you back.
So there was an alien that was just a brain with tentacles.
Oh yeah,
remember that? And then there was the diner run by the pig. Do you remember that? And they thought that they were making the customers into burgers.
Yes. Holy shit. That you just unlocked the memory for me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I used to watch Courage the Cowardly Dog all the time.
And then there was one where Courage had a dream about, like, a disturbing, like, fetus-type creature. Not good.
Another one where I'm like, how did that get made? And there's also another one where I don't even know how I would go about looking it up, but I just remember a chicken in a spaceship.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. But yeah, some of those were like, how was that for kids?
Okay. Avatar The Last Airbender. The Puppet Master.
I don't know if I remember that.
So, Avatar, if you don't know, too hard to explain. All you need to know is that they're these gang of four friends, and they can... Four friends? Five friends at this point. And they can bend different elements, water, fire, air, earth. And then the fifth one has a boomerang. Thank you.
Me.
And there are different nations. It's Fire Nation, Air Nation, etc., etc. The Fire Nation is an imperialist. Cool. So the Avatar gang roll up to a Fire Nation occupied town to find that people are randomly going missing. This is kind of like a usual setup for like a single episode arc. Where it's kind of like, what's the case that we gotta solve today, gang? You know?
Yeah.
So it starts pretty normal. And what's kind of like special about this episode is that Katara, this waterbender, finds another waterbender who is trying to teach her like new skills. She's this older woman named Hama. But this new skill is called bloodbending.
Essentially, you take
the water in someone's body and you essentially use them like a puppet. But Katara is vehemently against this because it's horrible. You know? Obviously. Yep. But by the end of the episode, Hama essentially forces her to use bloodbending. She ends up bloodbending her brother and one of her friends into fighting each other, and the only way Katara can stop her is by bloodbending Hama.
Jesus.
So, not only is the, like, concept of bloodbending horrible, the visuals of them being bloodbended, it's literally like puppetry.
Interesting.
And then, like, the sound design of, like, the crunching and stuff.
Ooh.
And then to see Katara, this, like, upstanding person, get morally corrupted against her will... It's horrendous.
Yeah,
like, you can
fully
see her getting, like, corrupted. And it's horrible. So that stuck with me for a very long time. It's still, like, to this day, I'm like, that's fucked up. Like,
yeah,
what the
I'll
hell?
That's a lot.
And then there's this backstory for Hama as to why she turned out like this. Mm-hmm. She had been captured by Fire Nation people. And she was kept in a prison without any water. And if she were to be given water, she had to have her arms and legs tied. But the one thing is that rats would come in. Well, she started by bloodbending the rats. That was horrible, too.
Christ.
So she had this little army of rats she was bloodbending.
Jesus Christ.
Well, why was it shown to kids?
Yeah, that's a lot. My turn? Okay. So the rest of these are kind of like miscellaneous things. So something that used to scare me when I was younger was solar flares, because there was like sometimes scientists think that there could potentially, it's very low chance, but be like such a big solar flare that it could take out all of our electricity. So there's a theory that potentially, okay, so it cannot get all our electricity, which means no phones, no cars, like, nothing. So society would basically fall apart and have to be completely rebuilt. And of course, like, if there's no way to deliver food or anything, I'm sure people would starve. There would probably be anarchy, people looting.
Think about how much electricity hospitals use.
That too. There'd be hella dead people.
That's not the worst part.
Listen... I'm not made for a post-apocalyptic society.
Oh, me neither. This is kind of dark. Whenever someone's like, what would you do in the apocalypse? Kill myself. What do you mean?
Yeah.
What's the other option here?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. This was another concept. The Loch Ness Monster.
That messed you up as a kid?
If it were to be real now, like, I totally don't believe in it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's fake. But if I were to think it was real now, it would still mess me up. Because it feeds into one of my phobias, megalophobia.
Is that what it is?
It's the fear of, like, outrageously big things.
Yeah.
And so it took me a while to, like, find a word for it. Because I just had, like, a lot of concepts that I was like, this scares the shit out of me. But the Loch Ness Monster is, like, this monster. I know, great guess. Supposedly found in Loch Ness in Scotland. And there was a dinosaur that they thought it, like, looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously it's not real. Like, the lock is too small. No, the lock is too small to support it. It wouldn't live this long. There's not enough food to support it. Like, it's fake. But as a kid, yet again, people can't lie, you know? So I took everything as fact.
On the internet?
Like, when I was a kid in preschool, literally preschool, I loved urban legends. Like, Bigfoot was my shit. I was not scared of Bigfoot, though. But the Loch Ness Monster messed me up. And it also feeds into, like, it's called undersea gigantism or deep sea gigantism. You want to shit your pants? Look into that.
I thought you were going to say, like, thalassophobia. I think that's the fear of, like, deep water, like, oceans, vast oceans, something like that. Yeah.
An empty ocean, I'm fine with. Confirmed deep, empty ocean, fine. Deep sea gigantism, no, thank you. And another one.
So I can look at that later.
Deep sea gigantism?
Deep sea gigantism?
Yeah. I should probably explain what it is. It's essentially the phenomenon of having really big animals in the very deep sea, like a gigantic squid, for example.
I was going to say, like a kraken.
Like a kraken. Like, oh, and something that's triggered me recently that's kind of like the Loch Ness Monster, except like worse, is Leviathan. Like, apparently there are some Jewish people that believe that Leviathan is, like, 300 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
That triggers my flight or flight. Oh, my God.
That's a lot. Oh, yeah, that's right, because you also are afraid of giant sloths.
And oh,
I was like, okay. Ooh.
So before I had a word for what I was afraid of, one of the things that I hated was prehistoric big versions of animals we have today. So, like, I'm not scared of monkeys or orangutans or anything, but there is this orangutan that used to exist that was 10 feet tall. Scares the shit out of me. Scares the shit out of me.
What about giant turtles?
Well, no. I don't want it. Turtles are fine the way they are. If it's bigger than a Galapagos turtle, I don't want it.
Okay, fair.
But also, that ties into DC gigantism, because some people, like, think that it's kind of like being on an island. So, you know the Galapagos?
Yeah.
So many of the animals are weird on the Galapagos because it's an island.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting now, but back then, scared the shit out of me.
You're
Scotland
so scared.
Was never going to see my ass. Not of the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, not of the Loch Ness Monster.
Because I know that's fake news.
Me? Fake news.
Oh, this is kind of unrelated. Another thing. I should send you this video.
Okay.
But there was a conspiracy theory that same guy covered.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know that, like, infamous Bigfoot video where it's, like...
Yeah?
Well, the beginning of the video, it usually gets cut out, but there are two guys, you see, like, blood on the ground, and they're washing blood off their hands. And so the conspiracy theory is, what if they massacred the last pack of Sasquatches?
Oh my god. That's dark.
Also, I don't think Bigfoot exists, but it's fine.
I could be persuaded.
You also thought mermaids existed.
I still do.
There was this documentaries on Animal Planet.
If you will.
But we didn't know that at the time, because
yeah,
who thought that Animal Planet, of all places, would lie to us?
Lie.
Mm-hmm. But Liz's first, like, question after watching this whole documentary about mermaids is, do you think they can cry?
I was curious, you know?
I think if mermaids exist, they're ugly as shit. Thanks.
Me. What?
There's another thing from the same video. I gotta send you it. It's like Shinjin or something. But it's essentially sirens, but they're ugly as shit. They look like beluga whales and they're 50 feet long.
Oh, that's a lot.
Thank you. Did you know beluga whales have knees?
I did know that. Did you know that potentially Columbus fucked a manatee? Because he thought it was a mermaid.
That is like the least surprising thing I've ever heard about Columbus and probably the least disgusting.
Fuck. But true.
Moving swiftly on.
Okay. So this is kind of a random anecdotal story I decided to throw in here. I remember being in, like, 6th or 7th grade, and one of my friends was, found out that the world was potentially going to end in 2012. And so she was, like, freaking out. She was crying, and I was just standing like, what the fuck? Like, apparently I left my compassion at home that day.
Which is so weird for you.
Yeah, exactly. But I just remember standing there being like, what the fuck?
Like, me being like, what the, you're stupid. It's such a kid-me thing. It's an adult-me thing, too. But for you?
I know, exactly. I was in rare form that day. Okay, but the next scary thing for me, that I'm still afraid of to this day, zombies. I hate zombies. Like, for the longest time, I couldn't watch zombie movies either. Like, I would die in a zombie apocalypse. Thank you.
And even now, you have to be really choosy. Like, isn't, like, the only zombie movie you really like Zombieland and, like, A Train to Busan?
That, but then I also saw a show recently called Black Summer that I really liked.
So, how do you feel about rabies?
That scares the shit out of me. Like, because it's essentially, like, being a zombie. See, and this is the thing. Like, this might be a little controversial for people who are religious, but, like, when people are like, oh, exorcisms, I'm like, either that person was severely mentally ill, or you know how they're, like, they're foaming at the mouth? What if they have rabies?
That's because fair. Because
you essentially act like a zombie, and you foam at the fucking mouth. And, holy water, you have a fear of water when you have rabies.
Oh, yes. I thought you were telling me I have a fear of water, and I was like...
No, not you. No, when you have rabies, you have a fear of water. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, people. I'm just saying. Thank you.
Also, I don't get the whole, like, thinking someone's the devil because they're trying to, like, shy away from being splashed with random-ass shit. If someone splashed me with random-ass shit, I wouldn't want to be splashed with it. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
But I really think that most people that had to get exercised were either not falling in line with the times or they had mental illness.
Very mentally ill, yes.
Mixed with people exaggerating. Hella. Yep. Come on. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And the thing about exorcisms, whenever someone's like, Beelzebub or whatever the fuck his name is,
yeah,
is in the person. Possess them. Does he not have better things to do than, like, being Billy Joe Osborne from the middle of Maryland? Like, does he not have anything better to do from hell? He's like, oh, this random-ass white dude in the middle of nowhere is really going to further my agenda of evil.
Are not religious. But that kind of stuff used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid, too. Like, possession and stuff. Because I remember, because you know how, like, when you're little, you ask your parents, like, this is okay, right? Like, I'm not going to, like, die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I asked Mom. I was like, is the devil real? And she's like, well, it depends what you believe in. I wasn't looking for that answer. I was looking for, no, you're fine.
I mean, I understand the response.
But at the same time.
I would say, sweetie, not in this house. Thank you. We got salt on all the doors.
Oh,
you're fine.
My God.
But really, or just straight up Lucifer. Like, really?
Yeah.
The king of hell has nothing better to do.
Nothing better to do.
Than to put himself in a meat sack. And be strapped to a bed with holy water on him. You think he has nothing better to do?
Exactly.
Come on. Okay.
I thought we went on that tangent.
Tangent. Want you to shoot it.
Everyone from the South.
Want you to shoot it. Okay. I would just like to say to the writers of Adventure Time, what is wrong with you? I have two episodes that didn't scare me, but they mentally messed me up. So, Adventure Time follows the last human on, like, Earth, quote-unquote. But it's a crazy cartoon Earth. Like, there's candy people, people have magic powers, etc., etc. And his best friend slash brother is a talking dog.
Yes.
Who is also very stretchy. Just in case that wasn't enough.
Like, Elastigirl.
Yeah. And then his best friend ends up marrying a unicorn, and they have unicorn pup babies. But anyways, that's not what we're talking about today. It is, like, visually the pinnacle of kid shows. Like, you would see it and be like, that's a stupid kid show.
Yeah.
It's not. If you ever watch Adventure Time, strap in. So the first episode that really messed me up is there's this big bad for multiple seasons called the Lich. And the Lich essentially, all he's just evil. And all he wants is to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to his end goal of taking out all life, he makes this wish. And so Jake and Finn, the two main characters, are like, we gotta do this somehow. So Finn, by the way, Finn's like a kid. He's like a teenager. He's like, okay, we gotta be very careful about this. He thinks for a moment. He's like, okay, I wish the Lich never existed. We're in a new world where the Lich never existed. He's just a normal kid. It's like a normal world, whatever. But his life sucks. Like, he has a mom and a dad and a little baby brother. But, like, his dad is being bullied by a gang because he owes them money. A gang rules this town.
God.
I know.
It's a lot.
Also, there's no talking Jake, obviously. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So, the beginning of the episode, his mom tells him that, like, they need to pay the gang, so he needs to sell his horse. Bertrand. And he's I don't want to sell my horse. So he's just like, what's going on? But, like, fine. But he stumbles upon this, like, little cave in the ground. And he finds, I don't know if you remember, you know the Ice King?
Yeah.
It's the Ice King, but he's, like, normal. But his crown. So he tries to take this magic crown. He doesn't know it's magic. He just sees gold with, like, diamonds and shit. Okay. But there's a witch guarding it. He doesn't know it's a witch either. And it's not really a witch. It's a vampire. But that's fine. This old woman is guarding it. But eventually, he steals it. So he's like, okay, you know, we can pay the gang, whatever. So he goes down into town, and it gets stolen by the gang. Oh, and not only did they steal the crown, they also steal his horse.
Oh, my God.
So he ends up going to, like, where the gang stays, and he's like, I'm getting my ship back.
Okay.
And the guy's like, okay, here's your crown back, and you can take your horse. He's like, huh? He's like, well, look outside. The whole town is on fire, including his house. With his parents and his little baby brother upstairs where this house is on fire.
What the hell?
He's like, I have to use the crown. Well, the crown is magic and it gives you ice powers. So he's like freezing shit, saving his family, whatever. There's one thing I forgot to mention. In the hole in the ground is an unexploded nuke. So as he... save his family, he's shaking the ground and it's like cracking the nuke.
Oh,
so the nuke goes off.
God.
That's crazy. I was a child.
That's a lot.
It was like suckage on suckage on suckage. The second episode is also weird. So Finn is in his feelings, okay? He's having girl problems, and so him and Jake are like, let's make a pillow fort. Awesome.
As you do.
Finn goes in the fort and gets transported to another world.
As you do.
In the pillow world. Everyone is pillows. Everything is pillows. They eat pillows. They sleep on pillows. The people are pillows. Whatever. Well, the door behind, like, disappears behind him. So he's stuck in this world.
Oh, my God.
He ends up meeting a girl and falling in love and getting married and having children and watching his children grow up. And he ends up dying of old age in this pillow world. So decades in this pillow world. Having this whole family and everything. And then when he dies, he's finally transported home. That's not even the worst part.
What?
So he comes out of the pillow fort and he's talking to Jake. And he's like, I had the weirdest dream, dude. And Jake's like, what happened? And as he says that, the phone rings. And he's like talking to his girl. Okay. And he gets off the phone. And so Jake was like, okay, so what was the dream about? And he goes, what dream? He had this whole family died and then forgot about them.
That reminds me of, like, a story I saw on Reddit where, like, somebody, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had a dream where he had, like, a whole life and then he woke up and none of it was real.
I remember exactly what you're talking about and that fucked me up, too.
Yeah.
But I was a teenager at that point. Essentially, he got hit by a car. And as he was in this, like, coma.
That's my coma.
He had this whole life with, like, a wife and everything. And what ended it is that he started staring at a lamp and it started getting weird.
Yeah, it wasn't quite right.
Staring at that lamp until he came to.
Yep.
Imagine that.
He was like really depressed after that.
Because like,
not be.
Imagine being the love of your life.
Exactly.
And then waking up and they were.
You have to like grieve that whole life.
And then essentially have to redo it.
Yeah.
like, try to find your person again, have kids again.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Oh, and another thing about Adventure Time is that this regular world is so weird because of the Great Mushroom War that took a chunk out of the Earth. Essentially a nuclear apocalypse.
Thank you. My God.
And that's why everyone's weird, and that's why Finn is the last human.
Interesting.
And it gets even sadder. Holy shit. If you, oh my God. I can't.
I love how we were like, this is going to be a lighter episode.
I know, but that's
just. And we just, right into the ground.
Okay. Do you have any more left?
I have one more. Okay. How many do you have left?
So I have honorable mentions left.
Okay. So my last one is, I wonder if you remember this, for when we were, like, little. I don't know if it was my baby doll or your baby doll, but it was one of the ones that would blink.
I know the story.
One time, it blinked the wrong way. Like, the eyes moved the wrong way, and I was like, what the fuck? And of course, this is when I was afraid of, like, possession and shit, so I was like, my doll's possessed!
And it wasn't being held. Usually, like, when you hold it, it was one of those dolls, like, the eyes open when you tip it up, and when it's down close, like, it's waking up and falling asleep. So it wasn't being held or moved or anything, and the eye just moved.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, now I can come up with an explanation, but when I was a kid, I was like, I'm fucked.
We're dead. Okay. My honorable mentions. The Marionette train scene from the Polar Express. Remember when he was in the train part that had all the dolls?
Yes, yes.
Fear Factor.
Really?
Well, if you put yourself in those scenarios, terrifying. Okay, especially the ones where you had to, like, eat shit.
Yeah, that's fair.
That still turns my stomach. But also watch Fear Factor. It was great.
Boy Meets World. I hate Joe Rogan. Sorry, go ahead.
You hate Joe? Oh, yeah. Fuck Joe Rogan. To me, it's so weird. It's almost like the person on Fear Factor and Joe Rogan.
It's a different person. Yes.
It's like the host of Fear Factor and then that fucking guy. Okay.
Yep.
The next one, Boy Meets World. And then there was Sean. The Halloween episode.
I don't think I remember that.
Yes, you do. We watched it. Remember they're all in detention?
Yes!
It is one of the funniest episodes and one of the most terrifying. There was this one part where there was... a kid that got killed with a pencil through the forehead, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And Chocolate Eric just goes, style. We'll always remember he was this tall.
I forgot about that. I love that.
The scary part is that there's this killer, and the killer ends up being Sean, even though Sean's still there. So he's like, what? Yeah. It's very meta. And so you're like, oh, it's all in his head. But then at the end of the episode, they actually leave the classroom, and then the killer comes out, and you're like... Huh?
Yep.
I would just like to mention, I watched this before school when I was a kid. Like, the reruns.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, The Ghost of Sweet 613.
Oh, yes! Oh, my God. That was a great episode, but yeah, it kind of freaked me out a little.
Every Casper is like, I feel that one. And then the last one is SpongeBob the Night Shift, with Nosferatu.
Yes. Nosferatu!
Which, like, now Nosferatu just reminds me of What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, I love that movie.
Watch that movie.
Yes.
If you want to gaff. You know what else is creepy that I didn't really appreciate until I was older was an Avatar, like, Lao Guy?
Which one?
Essentially, they were in the Earth Kingdom. Okay. And there was this guy that was controlling the Earth Kingdom that wasn't the actual king. That was trying to make it so all the citizens never knew there was a war going on.
Oh, that's right.
So they essentially had, like, a re-education camp where you got hypnotized. And so there was that, like, Lao guy. But they're like, there is no war in Ba Sing Se. Because within those walls, there is no war. Terrifying. And now that I know that actually happens, shit. Even more terrifying.
Exactly. I was just going to say, that happens. I won't name any names, but one of them looks like Winnie the Pooh, and the other one is a fucking asshole. Thank you.
This could be the same person.
Yeah, it could be the same person. It's fine. I just don't want to get us nuked, so.
Well, you know. Maybe one of our asses will get possessed by Beelzebub, or whatever the fuck.
Me.
And there's that other one whose name I can't remember.
Okay.
Like, he's the George the Beatles that are the okay, kings of the underworld, you know?
I know what you mean.
It's like, you got the John and Lucifer, you got the Paul and Beelzebub.
Cain and Abel. I was just pulling names out.
Ma'am, do you know who that is?
I just wanted to name someone, too.
You're like, I know about this. Adam.
Got him.
But yet again, feeding into, like, me looking at scary stuff when I was a kid, I would look up, like, undersea animals because it kind of scared me.
I do. What was that face you just made? I'm yawning.
You know blobfish?
Yeah, those are weird.
Did you know they don't actually look like that?
Excuse me?
It's because the pressure is so much different up here that...
Oh! Weird.
It's like sending a person into space and thinking that that's what people look like. Or that's without a suit.
Weird. Me. Oh, that's all for now, folks.
Is it? I feel like I have more to say.
Okay.
We should do a part two of, like, things we saw as adults that just still stick with us.
Okay.
Like, one for me would be, like, it starts with an M. Like Mungo.
Oh, okay.
Still scares the shit out of me, thank you.
I don't know why that one doesn't bother me as much.
It's just, it with horror, sometimes it just ticks your boxes, sometimes it doesn't.
That's fair.
It's just, oh, I would highly recommend that movie. And it's kind of sad, too.
What's that for us?
It's kind of true crimey.
Oh, wow.
Okay, thank you for listening.
As always.
If you want to follow us, you can follow us on Twitter at...
Deadly_pod.
On Instagram, we are beautifulbutdeadlypod. If you want to shoot us an email at beautifulbutdeadlypodcast@gmail.com. Yes. You can leave us a review.
That would be great.
And yeah, I think that's it for us.
Thank you.
Bye.